here this morning. Thank the Lord for these sun, warm days. So we thank God for the sun that shines, but the S-O-N that shines, the Son of God. And I want to not forget we're also in winter. They said we might get some snow later this week. So this was some of our young people had a mystery party to find out more about the Christian Youth in Action, CYIA. And there were 18 young people from the Kansas City area at that party. And I thought, 9 of the young people, 7 are here, the other 2 came a little bit later. 9 of those 18 were from our youth group. So that was exciting. And if you're not sure what they're dressed up here, you can ask them later. They can tell you what they were dressed for. But it was a blessing to see them there, 9 of our youth. And so pray with them, pray for them, for the Lord's leading, what they would be doing this summer as they consider CYIA, Christian Youth in Action. We've been studying the churches in the New Testament. Our theme for this year, Christ will build His church. As we look at, first of all, the 7 churches in the book of Revelation, Revelation 2 and 3. And today we come to the church of Thyatira, what could be called the corrupt church. And the key verse here, I want you to look with me at Revelation 2:20, the first part of this verse. I have this against you. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel. Now, let's bow in prayer as we begin. Oh God, we thank You that You are our Father. And by faith we are God's family, God's children. And we thank You that Christ is our head, and by grace we are Christ's body. We thank You that the Holy Spirit is our anointing. And by His power we live. We thank You that the Bible is Your book. And by inspiration we have God's Word. We ask You to anoint and open our ears to hear God's Word. We ask You to anoint and open our eyes to understand God's Word. We ask You to anoint and open our hearts to receive God's Word. We ask You to anoint and change our minds to follow God's will. We ask You to anoint and use our hands to do God's will. We ask You to anoint and use our feet to walk in God's will. We ask You to anoint and speak Your message through Your servant. Lord, we pray, we ask You to anoint and help Your church to be God-seeking, kingdom-praying, connecting with God, caring for others, committing to missions, consecrating to ministry. Oh Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we come here again to the 7 churches of Asia. And we're reminded that these churches were literal churches there in Asia. And they represent also history for us, the period of church history that we can learn from. There are types of churches of all times. And they are churches that show us characteristics that any church may have. But they also show us 7 methods of attack by Satan on the church. So, as we look at this, the 4th church, Thyatira, and what we can learn from this church today. Again, the location of these churches, as the letter was passed around, all the churches would read these letters so that they could learn from what John wrote to these churches and the inspiration of the Spirit. And so we come to Thyatira. It was a military center. It was also a commercial center. And the dye is very famous there. Especially the purple dye that they would make. They worshipped Apollo, the sun god. And it was probably, this church was probably founded by Lydia or someone from her family. If you turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 16 and verse 14. Take a look at this verse here. Acts 16, actually verses 14 to 15. And see how this church possibly began. And here we see the city of Philippi. And verse 14, one of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia. And she was a dealer in purple cloth. All right, so she sold purple cloth, which this city was famous for. She was a worshiper of God, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. And when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. Now, she was instrumental in getting the church started in Philippi. And that was in Macedonia. But over here in Asia is where she was from. So it's very possible that she returned to her hometown, or those of her family members returned to their hometown. And there they started this church at Thyatira. So it's interesting the influence that women have. Throughout the Bible you see this, the book of Luke and the book of Acts. You see many times names of women mentioned and the influence that they can have. And so she had an influence in the starting of this church, her and her family. And then we see here that this church, Thyatira, represents the pagan church. From A.D. 606 to 1517, and in history this is known as the Dark Ages. And we're going to talk more about that later. And Thyatira means continual sacrifice. Continual sacrifice. They deny the finished work of Christ and emphasize a continual sacrifice. People to try to earn their own salvation by works. This continual sacrifice. By works, by penance, by indulgences. So we see here this church. Remember, the church of Ephesus was the loveless church. And then we saw the Smyrna church, the crown church. Here, then Pergamon, the compromising church. And now the corrupted church. And see, how did this happen? As we take a look at this today. Now, Christ gave some words of commendation. He gave some words of praise. First of all, we see these words in Revelation 2:18. To the church in Thyatira write, these are the words of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. Now, Jesus is the Son of Man. We see that in Revelation 1:13. It speaks of His humanity, the Son of Man. But Jesus is also the Son of God. And that speaks of His deity. If you turn to John chapter 20 and verse 31, this was the purpose for which John wrote the Gospel of John, which every seeker ought to read, the Gospel of John, and every believer. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in His name. So the Gospel of John was written that we might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ is the Son of God, and that by believing in Him we might have life. Now, here He's not referred to as the Son of Mary, which of course the Catholic Church often refers to Him as the Son of Mary. But He is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man. He is God and man. And His eyes are like blazing fire, and His feet are like burnished bronze. This refers to Christ's judgment on the church, the fire of judgment. Now, here then, Christ's commendation. what words he says to them. First of all, I know your deeds. They maybe out of duty, a sense of duty, they did these deeds out of a sense of duty. Now, he commends them for them. But more than out of a sense of duty, we serve the Lord out of a sense of love. We're motivated more than by duty. Oh, I have to do this. It should be more of love. I love to serve the Lord. And so we see here, I know your love. There was a loyal love. Not just a sense of duty, but love. And I know your faith. They were faithful in their faith. And I know your perseverance. They were patient. And that your increasing works, that you are now doing more than you did at first. So he commends them. Here, six things that he could say about them, that he could commend them. This is good. But then, we see then the Lord's condemnation. The Lord rebuked them. Nevertheless, even though these are good things, and keep the, persevere in these things, but I have this against you. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel. And so, here in this church at Thyatira was the teaching of Jezebel. Now, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, and by her teaching, she misleads my servants into immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. Now, was this woman in that church really her name Jezebel? Probably not likely. Refers to, of course, Jezebel in the Old Testament. 19 times that name is mentioned in the Old Testament. Only one time here in the New Testament. Kind of two names. You don't name a boy Judas. You don't name a girl Jezebel. These are kind of two names you just don't use for your children. All right? Jezebel refers to a wicked woman. Jezebel. Now, I was surprised that there is Jezebel magazine referring to wicked women. Some of the Jezebel magazine. But Jezebel, the marks of a Jezebel spirit are these. That spirit of Jezebel, that wicked woman, is seductive, enticing to do wrong, is even to be religious, like Jezebel was in the Old Testament, and rebellious and intimidating. These are all characteristics we see of Jezebel. And here a church was influenced by Lydia, in the starting of this church. Here we see another woman who influenced the church in a wrong way. So we must always consider what our influence is in the church. I don't know that this Jezebel, if she was a leader in the church, or like the Jezebel in the Old Testament, maybe she was the wife of a leader. Just like Jezebel was the wife of Ahab, the wicked king. If you turn then to this Jezebel, we see in the Old Testament, Jezebel brought Baalism, a false religion, the worshiping of the idol of Baal into Israel, and perverted it. And others, we see here in 1 Kings, how she influenced her husband Ahab. Look at 1 Kings 21 and verse 25. It's interesting, this little note here that we have. There was never anyone like Ahab. I mean, you talk about a wicked king. He's the standard of a wicked king. There's never anyone like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, urged on by Jezebel, his wife. They were a pair. They were a pair. And so Jezebel urged him to do evil. And it probably didn't take a lot of urging on Ahab's, but Ahab was probably looking at Ahab, his wife, and he was a spoiled king. And Jezebel kind of controlled Ahab. Now, I've heard it put this way. I heard once a woman say something like this, "Well, I know the husband is the head, but the wife is the neck, and she can control the head." Now, that, the Bible tells us that we're to submit to one another and fear the Lord. And the Bible speaks of a stiff neck. There could be a stiff neck, a rebellious neck. So, you know, you work together to influence one another to do what is right. And so we see Jezebel, the influence she had in the Old Testament, and then this woman in that church, and the spirit of Jezebel brought paganism to the church and perverted it. We're going to see how that happened. Now this reminds us of another case of a woman who had influence. The woman who mixed yeast into flour. Jesus told a parable here, if you turn to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33. He told them, still another parable, "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into the about 60 pounds of flour until it worked it through the dough." Now, yeast is often pictured in the Bible as sin and wickedness. And so here you have this woman who in this parable mixes false teaching with truth. And that's very much like Jezebel. The influence that you can have, and there ought to be a good influence, not a bad influence. So we can learn here from Jezebel. She misleads into sexual immorality. And immorality cannot be tolerated in the church. She misleads in the eating of food sacrificed to idols. And adultery cannot be tolerated in the church. Now, you may ask, well, how did this happen? Or how do we see this? If you look at, a lot of times people ask me, "Pastor, what's the difference between a Catholic church and a Christian church? What's the difference between these two churches?" Now, there are a number of things you could explain. I'm going to give you maybe 8 different things you can explain the difference between the Catholic Church and a Christian church. To understand, there are a lot of people who ask you this question. And so you can explain to them, what is the difference between a Catholic Church and a Christian church? First of all, the doing of penance. The Bible says that we are saved by grace through faith. It's kind of like a coin. Both sides of the coin. One side is grace. It's God's grace. The other side is faith. Our response to God's grace is what brings salvation. And nothing could add to that. Remember, Thyatira means continual sacrifice. And so the Catholic Church, salvation, it's only by grace through faith. Nothing added to it. But the Catholic Church adds to it. They add in one way, penance. You have to do these certain works of penance. You would go and confess to a priest your sins, and he would tell you, here are the works of penance that you have to do to be accepted. Maybe saying so many Hail Marys, so many prayers to Mary, and maybe doing certain good works for that church, whatever. So this doing of penance is adding on. It's continual sacrifice. You know, in the Catholic Church, another big difference is the Mass. The Mass and a Christian church, the Lord's Supper, but they're not the same. You see, the Mass, every time they take of the Mass, they say that that bread literally turns into the body of Christ. And so once again, that body is sacrificed for us. You see, continual sacrifice. And then they say that cup, the wine, it literally turns into the blood of Christ. Continual sacrifice. Now as a Christian church, we do not believe that. Jesus said to do this in remembrance of me, that the bread represents the body. It doesn't turn into the body. That the cup It represents His blood. It doesn't turn into His blood. So you need to understand the difference here. So every time they take of that Mass, it's a continual sacrifice. Christ is once again sacrificed for sin. And so that is another big difference. We need to understand this word, continual sacrifice. And then darkness. In a church, the Catholic Church adapted a lot of pagan customs. The burning of incense. You find it in many pagan temples. They burn incense. It's very dark. And it's hard to see that darkness. Whereas the Bible says that we're to live by truth which comes into the light. And not the burning of incense, not the darkness. And then mystery. Their services are in Latin. Most of the people don't understand Latin. It's like it's the Roman language, so we use Latin here. So most of the churches speak in the language people don't understand. It's just a ceremony. And the Bible tells us very clearly that the Bible says to hear the Word and to understand it. And so this is a big difference also. If you explain what's the difference, they try to keep the Word of God a mystery. They don't encourage believers to read the Word of God. Now, it's not to say a person can't be saved if they read the Word of God. I know many Catholic friends. Some of them are very confused. But there are maybe one or two that maybe through the reading of the Word of God that they have genuine faith. But the terminology is often different. You receive the Mass, they say you're receiving Christ. And so we need to understand this mystery. And then, beyond that, we see idolatry. The worship of idols. And they have idols to Christ, to the apostles, to the saints, and of course to Mary. And the Bible says very clearly, do not commit idolatry. Do not worship any image, any idol. And then chanting. A Catholic church will also chant, maybe and the chanting is repeating of prayers, the repeating of a ceremony. And the Bible reminds us here that we're not to do not keep on babbling like the pagans. And our prayers are not just to be empty babbling, a repeating of words that mean nothing, but it's to come from the heart. And of course, Mary is a big difference. Mary in the Catholic Church has become the central figure of the Catholic Church, even above Christ. And so the Bible says that in everything, Christ might have the supremacy. Christ is above all. And so we do not come to worship Mary. We do not come to pray to Mary. And so we need to understand this is a big difference. This worship of Mary. And then another big difference is the crucifix. The crucifix, of course, speaks of Christ's continual sacrifice. You see many who are Catholics have the crucifix in their church, or they wear a crucifix. And you notice the crucifix has Christ on the cross. It's a continual sacrifice. Now, the cross is very important to the Christian church, but not the crucifix. Because Jesus Christ died, and you remember one of the last words He said as He died, it is finished. There is no continual sacrifice. He paid it all. The book of Hebrews tells us clearly, it's been paid in full. He paid it all. It's finished. There's nothing to be added to it. And so, He was buried, He rose again the third day, He is victorious over sin and death. And so, Christ's sacrifice was completed, and the proof of that is His resurrection. So, there is no continual sacrifice. And so, if you might have a Catholic friend, or you have someone ask you, what is the difference between the Catholic Church and the Christian Church? You can explain to them. Very important difference here. So we see the church at Thyatira, the continual sacrifice and the adapting of the paganism within the church. And then we see the defiance of Jezebel. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling to repent. If you've studied church history at all, if you've ever had a chance to study history, the world history or church history, you know some of the most wicked men who ever lived were some of the popes of the Catholic Church. And so, but they would not repent. And so Christ pronounced judgment upon Jezebel. So the judgment here is, so I will cast her on a bed of suffering. I will make those who commit adultery with her, unless they repent of her ways, I will strike her children dead. Judgment comes. God gives us opportunity to repent. He cries out to us to repent, to turn from our sin. Beware that if we does not repent, there is a day of judgment coming. And God also brings suffering upon those who are unwilling to repent. And so the warning of Jezebel, then all the churches will know that I am He who searches the hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. This is a severe warning. That He searches our hearts. He searches our minds. So we must be careful that never to become just a ceremony. But our hearts need to understand the meaning of the Word of God, the meaning of worshiping God. And then we see the counsel that Christ gave to this church. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching, who are not following the teaching of Jezebel, and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you except hold on to what you have until I come. Hold on to the truth. Don't follow the falsehood of Jezebel. Do not hold on to the false doctrine. Do not learn Satan's so-called deep secrets. Beware of all false teaching. Now, young people, listen to me. There are some that Ouija board, who kind of play around with this sort of thing, Ouija board, and trying to foretell the future, what should I do, and so forth. You know, these are Satan's deep secrets that you don't mess around with that, young people. You don't mess around with that. Now, God has His mysteries. God has His deep secrets that He reveals to us in His Word. And one of this, we see here that we're to hold on to true doctrine until Christ's return, the rapture of the church, the mystery of His coming. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I want you to take note of this. It's very interesting. We're living in the last days. All that's happening. There's preparation being made in Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. There's preparation being made in Jerusalem to, again, have the high priest in Jerusalem where they would offer sacrifices at the temple. At any moment, they were prepared. The preparations are being made. At any moment, you know that temple is located there in Jerusalem. At any moment, that could be rebuilt. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Here's the mystery, the secret things of God that we ought to look after, not the things of the devil and Satan. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. And in verse 14, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's Word, we tell you that We who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. All right? Speaking of those who have died, who have fallen asleep, they're going to be resurrected first. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ, those who believers who have passed on, who have died, will rise first. And then after that, we who are still alive and are left with will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is referring to what's called the rapture, to be caught up. Those who are believers on this earth, when the Lord returns in the air with first the resurrected, believers who have passed away, and then those who are believers on this earth, be caught up together. This speaks of the rapture. Now, the rapture of the church. And this is true doctrine. This is a mystery, but it is a true doctrine that Christ tells us of the rapture of the church. And then after that, the period of tribulation speaks of in Revelation. So, here is Christ's challenge to the one who is victorious and does my will to the end. I will give authority over the nations, that one will rule them with an iron scepter and will dash them to pieces like pottery. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will also give that one the morning star. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Of course, these words are repeated to each of the church. We need to take heed. We need to hear. Not just have ears that don't listen, but the three kinds of people here is to let have ears that hear and let the Word go into our hearts, that we not be dull of hearing, but that we be willing to hear what the Spirit says. We be doers of the Word and not hearers only. And here's a challenge. Also, he gives that there is a position of authority. Authority over the nations. When Christ gave the Great Commission, He promised to go with us, but all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. And that authority He gives to us as believers to proclaim the Word of God and to make disciples. And then He speaks here of the morning star. Have you ever seen a morning star? Early in the morning, a bright star. It's probably one of the planets that comes up, called the morning star. Speaking of what's happening, what's going to take place, again referring to the last days. The bright and morning star refers to Jesus Christ. He is that bright and morning star that we're to look for His coming. Now, in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12, Satan is named Lucifer. Very beginning, he was an angel. And his name was Lucifer, which means bright star. But he is not the bright and morning star. He became proud. And because of that, he rebelled against God. And the Bible tells us a third of the angels followed him. And they became then the demons that we see in the Bible. So Satan and his angels, Satan and the demons. But the bright and morning star is what we have to look to, Jesus Christ. Now, if you review these first four messages to the churches, you can see the dangers that still exist for the people of God. Like Ephesus, we can be zealous, we can be orthodox, fundamental in our faith, but at the same time, lose our love and devotion to Christ. So we need to stir our hearts. That fire within us that God puts in our hearts, the love. Like Thyatira, though, our love can be increasing, yet lacking in the kind of discernment that is necessary to keep the church pure. So here you have one church that had sound doctrine but lost their love. Here you have one church that has their love but has not become discerning about what is true and what is false. How does this happen? Like Pergamon and Thyatira, we can be so tolerant of evil that we grieve the Lord and invite His judgment. Remember, Smyrna was assaulted by the synagogue of Satan. Pergamon was the throne of Satan, but Thyatira had fallen into the deep things of Satan. There is a progression. It starts ever so slightly, but there is a progression. When love is left behind, compromise follows. We begin to compromise with wrong and evil. And that leads to tolerance of evil and of sin. So we need to be aware of that. We are founded upon the sound doctrine, the teaching of God's Word. We have love for Christ and follow Him. We don't compromise. And then leads to tolerance. We tolerate evil and sin in our midst. So let us take heed to this warning. Let us beware of this. And a good example of that is you take a look at this church history. What happened? And beware what we need to keep ourselves pure before Him. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your Word. May it stir our hearts. Father, our love for You, that we would not compromise to wrong teaching. We would not tolerate evil and sin. Father, we keep our hearts pure and in the love of Christ. I pray, Father, speak to our hearts this day. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.